Coach, he scores!
Station podcast. So Danny Gray and I are back. First off, talking a little bit of draft. Danny, what are you looking for here?
Well, I am Jessica Spanoing all over the place right now. I am so excited.
What the hell is that?
I'm so excited. I'm so scared. You know, the episode where she's addicted to the. There's so much. It's palpable, you know, the rumors and the trade talk, but everything could either go amazingly or it could go terrible. You know, there's one. I feel like it's going to go one way or the other. It's either like we pick at five and I like the guy we get and we don't do anything else crazy. Maybe we add a goalie, or we gut the roster for Rick Nash and then draft Radek Faska with the fifth overall pick or something insane like that, or Griffin Reinhardt or Thomas Wilson or something just insane happens. So I can't predict what's going to happen. And that's what's making me excited and scared at the same time.
I guess as usual, eh? I guess at any point I sort of consider Brian Burke to be a wild card. That man could literally do anything at any time, and I don't know if anything would shock me anymore, right? Maybe he just deals the farm for Rick Nash. And I guess I, you know, as angry as I'd be about that, I'd have to sort of sit back and go, well, it doesn't shock me, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, or you know, maybe he just sits tight. Because he's already done that, you know, and I'd be happy with doing that. I want one of those four forwards. I want Grigorenko. I want Yakupov. I want Galchenyuk, or who's the other? Forsberg. I want one of them. I don't care how he does it. He's got to get one of them.
All signs point to that being extremely doable. The more that I hear people talk, and I was listening to Sportsnet Radio at lunch with Scott Morrison and Jeff Merrick, and they both said, you know, it's extremely unlikely that Murray makes it past maybe even the top two or three picks. Some people are saying, you know, either one of Columbus or Edmonton is going to take him there, or there'll be some sort of trade or anything like that. So I think it's likely, and so that makes me less concerned that he's going to make a trade maybe for that position. But I don't know. You know, Chris Stewart got locked up one more year, so that's another sort of Brian Burke power forward type off the market. Rumors yesterday that Evander Kane doesn't want to negotiate with the Jets. That would be great. But I don't think we have the assets for the asking
love
price there.
Evander Kane.
He would all sorts
He's
of...
He's an RFA, right?
Yeah, RFA. So they've got very little, you know, they have a lot of options, obviously, going forward there. But I think there's a good chance that we nab a forward, which makes it less likely he does something crazy, if that makes sense.
Wait, what do you mean? You think it's likely that he nabs a forward in the draft?
In the draft, yeah. Which sort of, I think, he keeps his... Because the rumored asking price for Rick Nash is just batshit crazy. Like, it's not, I understand.
No one said what, Rick Nash.
I understand you want to maximize your asset if you're Columbus here. You've got your franchise player, your captain, and those things are worth a premium. They were also worth a premium with Dion Phaneuf. But if you look at the price the Leafs paid to get Dion Phaneuf, obviously it was a bad deal by all accounts. Not that it should be your model, but I think it should be closer to that deal than what Housen thinks he's going to get out of Rick Nash, because Phaneuf is younger, or was younger at the time of the deal. He didn't have he had a high cap hit, but not an insane term. And he, you know, he can play tough minutes, and I think defensemen, generally speaking, a little more valuable. But to think he's going to get Dubinsky, Kreider, Stepan, and McDonough from the Rangers, that's just insane. There's four quality roster players for one guy who hasn't been all that astounding. You know, that's the kind of package I'd give up for Evgeny Malkin or Claude Giroux or some young, you know, potential perennial Hart Trophy candidate. Rick Nash is not those things. I know we talk about making the four quarters for a dollar kind of trade. And yeah, but that would be, you know, four 50-cent pieces for a dollar. Like, that you're overpaying because you're giving up quality and quantity, not just quantity, right?
Yeah.
So from a Leafs perspective, a similar deal would see... someone similar to Dubinsky would be a guy like Grabowski, and someone similar to Kreider, sort of a high-end offensive prospect. You're looking at Nazem Kadri, so Grabowski, Kadri, and then two defensemen that are you know, decent. So a guy like maybe Gunnarsson or Jake Carter, and then
that's just bananas already. Like,
I would have to think really hard about a Grabowski for Rick Nash straight up deal.
Yeah, same.
Because the cap kit that Grabowski's on, the minutes that he can play, the role he plays on this team, I would honestly, I know it sounds insane, but I would have to think long and hard about that deal. But back to the original thing, is I think that right now Brian Burke has all the options in the world open. I'm sure he has a million irons in the fire, as they say, right? And that's the one crappy thing about sort of being disconnected as we are, and a lack of knowledge as fans, is we don't necessarily know what he's working on. But I can assure you, it's probably everything. Like, he probably is trying to move up in the draft.
Well, we only have 8 general managers. I can imagine that they've got a few things going on.
I'm sure they're just on the phone or sending out faxes or something constantly, you know. And then
faxes? Come on.
I don't know, guys. We don't even earlier today, the people speculated Derek Roy might be available in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Is Stastny is a guy who's
the last forward we got out of Buffalo.
Yeah, and Tim.
He worked out well.
The last center we got, not so much. So, you know, Fermi once.
Although, you know what? You know what? I have to. Sorry, this is an aside. I think Tim Connolly gets a little bit too much flack. Yeah, he had enough year. Okay, lots of injuries. But you know what? I think I got more or less the player out of that deal that I thought the Leafs were getting.
I do know what you mean, and my phone agrees. He put up good offensive numbers in a limited role. I don't think he was given a fair enough shake at the number one center. I think maybe because it was, you know, they struggled a little bit there at the beginning of the season, or he was having some, you know, Kessel Lupo got off to a hot start, so I don't think Connolly got the shake that he deserved. I would be okay with going with him as the number one center next season, unless the Leafs can make a significant upgrade. I'd rather that than, you know, sign Olli Jokinen. Or something.
We're not signing Olli Jokinen.
Or trading for a bloated contract, unless it's a younger player like a Stastny or someone like that, obviously. But like a guy like Thornton or Marlowe or someone like that, I think that it doesn't give you as much flexibility going forward. So if Connolly has an off year, you've got guys like Jordan Staal, Getzlaf going UFA the year after. So I don't think that tying the Leafs into someone else that's not going to be a long-term solution really makes sense. But heaven help us if Tyler Bozak is the number one center.
Do you ever wonder, and the conspiratorial sort of side of my brain sometimes wonders this, is Phil Kessel exerting some kind of influence on coaching or management to keep Tyler Bozak where he is? I kind of wonder, you know, maybe it's not even like Phil Kessel has asked that Tyler Bozak remain with the team or whatever, but I kind of wonder sometimes. And this would be totally crazy, but I kind of wonder if Phil Kessel is part of the reason that Tyler Bozak is still employed at his current position and perhaps even with this team.
What current position? I think that has something to do with it. With the team, no. I think he showed value in being an NHL centerman, not necessarily number one. Obviously, he put up okay numbers there, but anyone's going to put up those kind of numbers when Lupul and Kessel were having the seasons. But I think that he's shown he could be a number three center on this team. So in that regard, no, but I think he's getting a lot more chances than Tim Connolly got. I think by virtue of his friendship with Phil Kessel, and that Phil Kessel's a bit of an awkward guy, and if Tyler Bozak's sort of presence helps him put up more points, then it's hard to argue that that's a bad thing. I think his chances of centering that line have sort of run out. Maybe we can run them out on the power play unit together or something. They can sit together on the bus or the plane or whatever.
What do you think of these reports that Kessel, I think it was Elliot Friedman, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Elliot Friedman who said, now I'm less sure of that name. Anyway, so somebody said that Phil Kessel, it was Darren Dreger. He said that Phil Kessel may be growing tired of the fishbowl experience when he's not doing well. I'm not saying that Phil Kessel is demanding a trade or anything, but I'm starting to wonder if the Leafs are going to be able to hold on to him if they miss the playoffs again.
Yeah, I think you throw enough money at anyone and they're gonna stick around.
All right, I'm getting a beer.
Plenty of I'll just talk to myself now. Plenty of players have obviously stayed, and look at Rick Nash, right? You know, he signed up for how many years in Columbus because they made the playoffs one time. So I think that if you give a player enough money and show them that you're willing to sort of build around them, and I think that's, as much as we criticize Burke, I think he's shown that he's going to try and do everything he can to improve. The Leafs are never going to be a budget team. They're never going to be anything but a cap team. So I think that really helps sell the idea to a guy like Phil Kessel. You know, we're going to try and improve around here. We're going to try and build. Obviously, this offseason is big for a number of reasons, but I think proving to Phil Kessel as well that this is a franchise worth sticking around. But I mean, you have Grabowski for another 4 or 5 years, obviously, and I don't see Dion Phaneuf going anywhere. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that respect. But I think that I understand. I would be tired of it too, right? If that was sort of, he's done everything he can possibly do while he's been in Toronto. Kidding. Like, he just scores goals and puts up points while playing with nobody and tough minutes. I mean, Joffre Lupo was great this year, but I think Kessel was driving that bus, right? So I think that he's done everything that the franchise could have asked of him. So I can understand maybe if he's frustrated because he sort of gets a bit more flack. But I think that's one of the reasons why the Leafs have been looking at bringing in a more veteran guy, is to deflect some of that, right? If things aren't going well, this guy, you know, especially with Dion Phaneuf being so young, it's hard for him to sort of take up that mantle of you know,
Leafs captain. Phaneuf's not that young.
Relatively speaking, right? I mean, when Sundin was a young captain, the Leafs were a good team. They were a playoff team. They were contenders, right? So he didn't face the same sort of adversity that, you know, Phaneuf and the Leafs are currently facing. So it would have been interesting to see how he handled that. So it's harder because, you know, Sundin, even when the Leafs struggled sort of towards the end of his tenure, he was the lightning rod for the criticism. You know, he always said that, you know, he had that track record of success to fall back on. It made it a little bit easier, right? But remember when he left, the power vacuum that he created, people were saying crazy things like Ian White or Matt Stajan should be captain next, because every time the Leafs went on an insane losing streak, one of them would like step up and take personal responsibility. And that was somehow enough to you know, deem them captain worthy. So I think that there's some different expectations being placed with the lack of success. So I think bringing in a veteran guy would definitely go a long way to help deflect some of that from Kessel as well, which I think is the most important thing there. Obviously, Phaneuf's a big boy. He can handle himself. But I don't know what the Leafs will do in that sense. But I think it's definitely possible that they bring an older guy in. Like when I was writing, I speculated a guy like Travis Moen or Jason Arnett or somebody just a little bit older, a little bit more, you know, now, long in the tooth.
Okay, but before you get into that, because, you know, we've heard lots of whispers of there being a lot of activity before the draft.
I hate the term whispers. No one's whispering anything.
Well, you know,
unsubstantiated rumors that we can't tell you. Or
sure. Well, I mean, there are some pretty high profile journalists and even members of like, you know, general managers and whatnot who're saying, yeah, I could see there being a lot of activity before this draft. So you know, it's speculation, but it's speculation from the right people.
Right. I see what you're saying now.
So all right, but before. Maybe before any of that gets decided, the Leafs have to decide what the heck they're doing with their current crop of unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents, right?
Right.
The RFA qualifying offer deadline comes after the draft. It's true, but you need to know what you're doing with those RFAs before you go out and you trade for some insane contract like Roberto Luongo's or Rick Nash's or, you know, whatever. They're any number of ridiculous contracts out there that Burke could trade for. So, Kuhlman, you think he...
Well, I'll preface by saying I was trying to find out today, actually, because I had noticed that you know, Philly qualified a bunch of their RFAs recently. I believe Vancouver just qualified Schneider, and Washington qualified a bunch of guys. Like Mike Green, actually, surprised that I don't know what they're going to do with him, because his qualifying offer was actually more than he's probably worth at this point, because he was making $5.5 million last year. And he obviously had a terrible season. So it'll be interesting to see if they just do a one-year deal, but that's off topic. Anyway, so I asked around, and Berkey found that the deadline's actually the Monday after the draft at 5 p.m. So the Leafs have until then to tender these offers. Players have until July 15th to sign those offers, and if they don't, then they go UFA, or they'd be still RFA, but the team would have to sign them before September. Anyway, that's not important. The important part is that I find it highly suspicious that Fratton, Kuhlman, and Franzen haven't been qualified at this point. There are some guys in the Marlies like Scrivens, Frazier, Holzer, Geisbers, and Marcel Mueller. I think those are the rest that need to be qualified. I'm not so concerned about them because they're going to get, you know, basically league minimum or around, you know, they'll be under $1 million. So that's fine. But my concern is that between Kuhlman, Fratton, and Franzen, there'll be about $5 million worth of cap space there to, or three or four, maybe five, I think, because Kuhlman himself would be $2.5 million. That there is a significant chunk. And if the Leafs aren't committed to using that for those three offers, it makes me wonder what they're doing. You know, they have an eye on bringing in a guy like Luongo, a guy like Rick Nash. They want to not limit that flexibility. Could a guy like Fratner, Kuhlman, or Franzen, of the three, I'd say Franzen would be the most likely to be traded. I don't like it, but the Leafs feel they have a position of depth from the defense. Everybody else ahead of him is either better or more expensive. You know,
or unmovable.
Or unmovable, right? So you're right, yeah. The Venn diagram being terribly overpaid and bad at hockey, the middle would be, you know, Mike Komisarek, and he's kind of have his own league there. But so those guys aren't going anywhere. So if you're going to be dealing, I think Franzen's a likely candidate. So is that why they haven't signed them? You know, if it Wednesday afternoon.
I think you're way overreacting to it.
You think I'm just being paranoid? Yeah,
totally. I think these guys are going to get qualified. We've got over a week to the deadline.
But you haven't even heard anything. You haven't heard anything at all. No one.
Who cares?
No one has come out and said, you know, look for them to get qualified.
It's not even a negotiation. They just send in the paperwork. Yeah, here, we qualify you. You know, it doesn't even have to be, like, these players can turn it down, and Brian Berg can be perfectly happy with that. You know, here.
But then why haven't they done it already? If it's just, if that's a mere matter of a formality, right?
I don't know. Who cares? I don't
know. My question is, does it make a difference, right? Once you've qualified them, I think you're at least committing to pay that very least, right? Like, if they sign it, boom, offer, done. You're committed to that, right?
But you would never not qualify them. I mean, if you don't qualify them, I mean...
But you can trade them, and then it's up to the other team to sign them, right?
Yeah, but once you qualify them, you know, they're sort of locked in. If you don't qualify them, they could walk as UFAs.
Right, I'm not saying they're not going to, but I'm saying is...
They have less value as a tradable asset if you don't qualify them.
My point is that are they going to wait until after the weekend to see what shakes out, to see what their cap space is looking like? All of a sudden, okay, well, you know, we can afford to qualify Kuhlman and Fratton, but, you know, Franzen has maybe gone in a deal, or they've both gone in a deal.
Well, a lot of people forget, I think, that you can go 10% over the cap in the summer, right? So if, or in the off season at least, if, for example, you know, they had to qualify a bunch of people and it took them over the cap, well, that's fine, you know? I'm sure Berg is willing to make whatever moves he needs to in the summer and then just fix it before October 3rd or whatever the heck he needs to, whatever deadline it is. I think he just is taking his time, honestly. Maybe, you know, these guys are Kuhlman and Fratton and Franzen could all conceivably be traded, right? I mean, these are all very tradable assets. They're all relatively young players.
Cost control, obviously.
Yeah, cost control. So yeah, for sure. I think they could all be in play.
That's where my suspicions are coming from, right? That they're valuable. We have the luxury of the team that acquires them has the luxury of paying them still RFA, right? So again, probably nothing, but it's just surprising to me, we'll say, that the Leafs haven't addressed this, because why let it hang over your head going into draft weekend? Why not?
We're not a draft weekend yet. I mean, they could still.
I know it's only Monday, obviously.
It's true,
but anyway, that was my sort of, you know, thing. I kind of went, huh, and noticed as other teams
It is strange that they'd be lollygagging on it, especially with, you know, with so many staff members. It's like, well, can't one of you come?
Someone can't. They just send Cliff Fletcher down with the papers and. You know,
except okay, well, you know what, maybe that explains it. Maybe they sent Cliff Fletcher down and he just got lost. He wandered away off of his Velcro leash, and you know,
quite possible
they've lost him.
Hopefully they sent Mike Komisarek after him and he falls into the same pit or whatever. Okay, but then so those guys are potentially in play. This is a really awkward segue. You're gonna have to edit
whatever.
But guys who have either become in play recently or out of play that I've noticed today, Barrett Jackman re-upped in St. Louis. He was a guy who I had sort of looked at the Leafs could bring in to play in the top two pairing. He's only making $3 million. He would have been a good option to play with a guy like Gardner. You know, he's a sort of a safe, stay-at-home kind of guy. A lot of people think maybe he flourishes under Ken Hitchcock's system, and you know, he's got some good goaltending this season. But
well, I actually think that's quite probable.
He's got good underlying numbers, and that's a good price for him. And he's a bit older, obviously. For me, that leaves Brian Allen as sort of the only, you know, the news has been that Carl is going to sign an extension similar, because he couldn't sign it yet because of the tag.
Why do we want more defensemen?
Especially ours aren't good enough?
I
How about that?
I don't they're know.
They're too expensive. Too expensive. Not good enough.
Sure.
Not ready for the role that they're currently
in. But signing UFA defenders is going to fix that?
Well, I'm saying for a reasonable contract. I don't want to give them $5 million. I'm not going to throw money at Dennis Weidman.
But you have to throw ridiculous money.
Dude's going to get paid. Dude's going to get like Christian Ehrhoff money, which is insane. But I think that a guy like Barrett Jackman would have been a great pick. $3 million for 3 or 4 seasons. What's wrong with that? This Colby Armstrong money. What's going to And the guy's gonna pay. This guy's gonna play in your top 2. That's great.
Yeah, but you know what?
Brian Allen, same deal. He's gonna play in your top 2. It's not like Carolina's been.
But
world
if he
leaders.
Is the open market, you're not gonna bring him in for $3 million.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You're gonna bring him in for a comparable salary. Anyway, so they're gone. Well, one name that did pop up today, apparently Jaromir Jagr.
Oh yeah,
is
going to UFA.
You're going to UFA. I would just love to bring him in on like a 1 or 2 year deal. Think about how sweet that would be. That would be like the would be like a throwback to the early 90s Leafs, where like we just had all this money and signed all these old guys that were awesome because they were finally UFAs. Like, oh, Ron Francis. Oh,
Joe Newman.
We traded for Ron Francis. But guys like that had been around the league for a while and done everything they were going to do. And we're like, here, here's money. Come play in Toronto.
Yeah.
And that would be great. And he played a top 6 role last year with the Flyers.
I think the best part of
put him
Yarmir
on a line
Jagr,
with Grabowski and MacArthur.
The best part of Yarmir Jagr coming to Toronto would be the fact that when he gets inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, because he's going to, they'd be like, they have to say he's a former Leaf.
They would have to, yeah. That would be great.
You know what? If you'd sign a reasonable contract, I'd say, what the hell? The Leafs, you know, and
we need a top 6 forward.
Talking about this, you know, he said
they want to get a veteran,
a gray beard. Yeah,
I can't think of anyone better.
Really?
You know, I mean, he's not sort of quote unquote truculent, but
whatever.
He's got a
the
sweet mullet,
like,
and he's
6'4",
and
six
he scores
five.
A lot of goals.
He's beastly. That guy is so strong.
I put him on the line with Kessel. I don't even
watching,
care.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, watching him play, that guy is so strong down low with the puck. He's so hard to
so
take.
So let's throw a bunch of money at him. Well, a reasonable sum.
No,
of money.
You don't want to throw.
You know,
throw a bunch of money at him.
Not KHL money, but like not Zach Parise money. Because let's just face facts. Those things aren't happening, right? I don't think that you're.
Yeah, you don't think the Leafs or you don't think the Leafs are going to bring in any kind of high profile winger. You know, no Nash, no Penner, no Parise.
Well, I think Penner resigns. I think Penner resigns in LA because I think he likes it there and they have a chance to, you know, continue on.
But the pancakes we have. All
that would be. Well, that would be great. I've been on the Dustin Penner bandwagon for a while, but that was when he was a buy low candidate. Now he's a, you know, you're selling high on Penner. You're not going to get
true.
Value out of him.
It's true.
You're going to overpay.
Yeah, you might still.
Or even especially if he goes UFA. But a guy like Parise, I think that every other team in the league is going to want to back him up. So he's going to have as much choice as possible. So I think if you have a team like Detroit throwing money at him or closer to a contending team, maybe that's more likely. I don't know. I think Burke probably really likes him. I bet he'd love to add him, but.
I think Detroit is going to blow the wad on either Ryan Suter or something.
I think they get neither. I think that Detroit's reign of being a good NHL franchise. Lindstrom is gone. I think a lot of guys see the writing on the wall. They know that Lindstrom was just one of the things that made that team so good. And guys like Datsyuk and Zetterberg getting older, obviously. What do you look at their prospect, but what do they got coming up? Thomas Tatar, Jurko or Yurko. He's good, but he's not gonna replace Datsyuk. Holmstrom's likely gone.
Yeah.
Franzen's a year older. Everyone's a year older. Ian White's now your top pair defenseman with who? Brad Stewart's gone.
Ian White will no longer be a top pair defenseman. Everyone's going to wonder what the hell happened to Ian White.
Right.
And I think a shockingly small number of people are...
Unless he happens to play with Ryan Suter next year.
Yeah.
But everyone else is going to be like, well, he's Ian White. He's good, but he's not top pairing defenseman. So I think that, I don't know, I really would love to see them swing and miss on both. And because who wants to live in Detroit? And how are they going to, their whole rule before that was no one makes more than Lidstrom or, you know, guys like Datsyuk and Zetterberg took less money because of that. So I don't know. I hope that they all strike out and, you know, but I really, what I would like to see the Leafs do, and as scary as this is I agree with Damian Cox here.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote an article this past week about the fact that the Leafs are likely to pass on Nash and make a pitch for Luongo. And this is one of those circumstances where, you know, everyone talks about how allegedly Damian Cox is Brian Burke's mouthpiece, right? He's broken some deals and he's had some insider sort of speculation, and it seems like he's got, you know, a direct line.
Well,
like
I've heard
like
from other journalists.
The bat phone.
They're best friends.
Right, so. The bat phone with the red. So with Burke, it's probably blue, and there's like it's like a fist instead of a receiver or something. So anyway, he's got that phone, and I think that what he said was that, you know, if you look at what the LA Kings did, they took a lot of time. They took 8 years sort of collecting prospects and drafting relatively high and picking up guys like Kopitar and Dustin Brown and Drew Doughty. and Wayne Simmons and Braden Shen. And some of those guys they kept, and some of them they used to turn into assets that help them now, right? So I think if the Leafs want to do something similar, they're not where LA was yet, right? You know, they're a little further behind. So what he's saying here is that they should make a play for Luongo that'll cost somebody like Nazem Kadri or Jesse Blacker or a good or Stuart Percy, someone a good prospect that the Leafs have, which they can afford to give up, I think, at this point. Sign a mid-range free agent, so that could be a guy like Jaromir Jagr if you're looking top six, maybe a Dustin Penner if he goes UFA, third line guy, maybe a Travis Moen, Jason Arnott, somebody like that. He wants them to make a bid for Justin Schultz, which I think is likely.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great move.
Great move. And then that sort of replaces your top four issue. He can play with Gardner. That would be fantastic. And he says no deal for Nash, who may not even be interested in Toronto anymore. And then don't move up from five. Just stay at five. Don't use any of your other assets. Because the Leafs only have one other pick in like the first four rounds or something. I think they draft in the first round, the second round, they don't draft again until like the fifth. So they don't have those assets. I don't want them. The second round pick there is basically another first, right? They're drafting fifth in the second round. So that's basically another first. Not essentially, but you're going to get two pretty good prospects out of this draft. Sure. So pick a guy who's going to not have all that pressure that Luke Shen did to come right up with the team and spend another season and keep developing, right?
I don't know. On the pressure note, I think...
There's pressure, but I don't think he's...
If someone gets drafted in fifth overall to the Leafs, there's tons of pressure.
But they're not playing in the NHL next season.
I think they could.
I don't think it's the same as drafting one, two, or three. Expectations are there, right? Like, I think whoever Montreal drafts, that guy's playing in the NHL next year.
Ooh.
Right? They're drafting three. They draft a Grigorenko. They draft a Yakupov. They draft someone like that. For a team that doesn't have any high-end forward talent, I think they play, right? So I think the Leafs, even though it's two spots, I think they have a little bit more leeway there of setting them down. So, and what Cox is saying is that it says that there's no short-term fixes. Luongo, he's a bit, he probably
he would be a short term and long term.
But you're going to get four more years basically out of him.
Yeah, ideally.
They're not in the same position as other teams. I think that it shows Phil Kessel that, you're a building block. FNUF's a building block. This is what we're going to do. We're going to build around. We've got some other young guys coming in. Gardner Schultz, Tyler Biggs.
Where do you stand? Sorry, going back, where do you stand on the Luongo issue? You want Luongo?
I'm pro Luongo. I'm pro team Luongo because I'm sick and tired of missing the playoffs. I'm sick and tired of crappy goaltending.
Yeah.
And I think that for the price that he is, he gives you that. We can worry about.
Well, yeah, we
can worry about his contract all day long.
The price could be. Wait, we're talking about the price of
the contract. The contract that goes into
not the cost of the assets to acquire him.
Like two more Olympics.
Are you?
Well, there's going to be two more Olympics. Like 2014 brutal. And 2018 is the next one. It's like he'll be expiring in three more Olympics.
Oh my god.
So obviously he's not going to be playing then, but I think that the cost to get him will be surprisingly low because I think once you pass this season, they're going to be even in a weaker position, right? They're, Jeff Merrick and Morrison again alluded to this today. Once Corey Schneider signs his RFA deal and you're paying him $5 and you're paying Luongo $5, you're $10 million. You have to move one of them.
You think they're going to pay Corey Schneider $5?
Well, he's going to $4.5 million. He's going to get Jonathan Quick, Carey Price money, I would imagine, right?
If you're saying
to him you're our franchise future goaltender.
Well, I don't know if you're saying that to him.
Well, I think that would be the implication, right? So, be interesting to see. So I think that now is the time to move him, and I think that I'm pro Luongo, but that being said, if he's not having it, I don't want another goalie. Like, I wasn't sad that the Leafs missed out on Anders Lindback.
No, yeah. See, we're definitely in agreement there. I don't see a reason why the Leafs should give up valuable assets, of which they don't have that many of, to acquire a goalie who is less proven than Reimer, and who, to be honest, really, okay, maybe his NHL save percentage is marginally better, but,
last time Tampa acquired a goalie from Nashville?
Yeah.
Dan Ellis? We got a great Twitter meme out of it.
Exactly.
But Tampa Bay didn't get any goalie. Not to say that the same thing is going to happen necessarily, but I think that it's just as risky as rolling Scrivens-Reimer. And even trading for a guy like Bernier, just as risky. Trading for a guy like Bobrovsky, signing Josh Harding.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Signing Scott Clemens.
Signing Harding is less risky because I feel when we talk about risky, we have to include the risk we accept in dealing what would probably be assets, young assets, right? I mean,
Harding's a UFA.
But I'm talking about these other goals,
right.
Bernier or whatever. They're not going to want our, I don't know. They're not going to want Joffrey Lupo. They're not going to want...
No.
Not that I think Burke would even trade him, but you know, they're going to want young players, and you have to see that as a certain risk, in addition to the fact that this goaltender in and of himself is a risk.
Right, because you're giving up assets to take a risk.
Right.
Whereas with you rolling Reimer Scrivens, you're not giving up anything, and you're still, you're taking, as lots of people have shown, you know, Cam's written about it, everyone's written about it, you know, basically overpaying for goaltending sort of doesn't guarantee you anything, because it's so, you know, varying from season to season. But when you have a guy like Luongo who's shown year in and year out that he can put up league average save percentage and above, on good teams, on bad teams, you know, he was great in Florida, he's great in Vancouver. So I'm pro Luongo, but I'm anti everybody else. That's my stance on
everybody else,
except for Reimer Scrivens. Like, well, I don't want to bring anybody else unless, I mean, something insane.
I think I'm anti Reimer Scrivens.
Like, they can trade for Carey Price or something, you know what I mean? Barring a miracle, I don't want anybody else other than Luongo or Reimer Scrivens, because I don't think you're going to get any further ahead. I'd rather spend that money or spend those assets to help up front or to help in the defense, right? That's basically what I'm thinking. So as much as it pains me to say, I really agree with what Cox is saying, and I really hope that this is one of those times where Brian Burke really wants to tell everyone what he's planning on doing or what he'd like to do, but he can't, right? Because Brian Burke could never come up and say, here's what I want to do, here are my plans, here are what I think. Because obviously tampering charges, and, you know, if he doesn't do that, like he said, freaking that the fact that, you know, I don't want to squeak into eighth, and it's become a soundbite, right? So,
yeah.
You know, obviously he hasn't learned that because he keeps running his mouth off. But I think the point is that I think hopefully that's what Burke's plan is and what he likes to do. And I would love for that to happen. That would be my ideal sort of offseason.